Hello and welcome in to another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your co-hosts. I am John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And we are going to give you a nice recap of the part two of the tell-all. So this wraps up this season of 90 Day Fiancé. It was probably an average episode, average season, as we've said before. Tell all was all right. Some good points here and there. Jabri thought, you know, it was his show to run, but that's typical of very selfish people. But outside of that, we got some good stuff from Even Muhammad, Emily Kobe, and her parents, David and Lisa, and some other stuff as well. So Linz, is there, I guess, anybody you want to kick it off with, or you want to kind of run it from the start? I felt like this episode was a little more well done in terms of couple by couple instead of just like kind of a mismatch.
Yeah, my ADD was definitely way better this episode that I can actually pay attention to people.
Yeah.
Because last episode was just all over the place. And like, I think you guys can tell that from the previous pod that like, it was just a shit show all around. And like, I mean, Jabri still didn't shut the fuck up, but he was a lot more tame than he was last episode.
You think?
Yeah.
I thought it was like just as bad.
Really?
For him specifically, yeah. I feel like everyone just kind of ignored him this time instead of like egged him on
yeah.
in the other one.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think, well, I mean, we'll start from the jump, but like, I think his interaction with John, like, was kind of like, all right, bro, like, you should shut the fuck up or someone's gonna deck you in the face.
fair enough.
So, I mean, we can start right there from the end of last episode into this episode.
Nice little argument between John and Spockles.
So, Jabri starts right off the bat saying that John is dimming Patrick and Thais's light. Because his light isn't lit.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
And that he's lonely. I was like, how the fuck do you know this stuff? Like, you don't even know this man.
Drinking beers at 8 in the morning and playing video games. Like, you're lonely, bro. It's like, yo, that sounds like a hell of a morning.
Right? And then we find out that John is 39. And it's like, what a bachelor. Like, drink beers, play video games, do whatever the hell you want. Like,
sounds pretty good to me. And he was calling him, like, trailer trash.
Yeah, we'll get into that because that was fucked up in my head.
I agree.
So Patrick says like he doesn't want to be involved with the fight between Jabri and John, and like, you know, he said that he wants John to always be part of his life, and like Thais says he's always gonna share their couple stuff with John.
Yep,
and like, they're brothers. Like, I don't know. I would kind of expect that, like, to tell your brother.
Especially with their background. Like, they're, you know, it's almost, I mean, it's going to sound weird, but it's almost like a second dad in a sense.
100%.
It's like your older brother who's, you know, got some years on you. Yeah, he might not be, you know, as mature or as successful as you in some other things, but he also is someone to, like, look up to in the sense of, they have your best interests at heart.
Yeah. I mean, I really, after this interaction between everyone, like, I view Patrick and John as like father and son. Like,
a little bit.
Because obviously they had like a shitty upbringing and didn't really have parents. So it's like you probably turn to your brother in those times of crisis and 100%. Like, you know, what should we do? And, you know, it sounds like they didn't have a good upbringing, but like John probably got a lot of the brunt of it being the oldest too. So
for sure.
It's like, let the man cope how he wants to cope. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think he looks pretty good for being 39.
For real. He said he was 39. I was like, excuse me. I thought you were like in your like, mid 30s.
Yeah. I was going to say like, you know, 33, 34, maybe 35, 36, but yeah, he looks pretty good for being 39 and having all that alcohol.
I was going to say, and drinking all day.
By all means, do what you're doing, my guy.
So then Patrick says that John is combative when it comes to John and Thais. So, like, they're always going to be arguing. And, like,
Yeah.
John's always going to take Patrick's side, which is, like, a duh. like you are brothers, so
yeah, you're always gonna look out for his best interests, like we were saying.
Yes, and then Kenny and Tim are still there. Still don't understand it at all.
Love Kenny.
But Kenny says that John is an ass, but there's good things about him and he's gonna be a great uncle. And I was like, I fully agree with that.
Yeah, and they can tell that like John really loves his brother. And then like what was the other thing too? Like he goes back there and then Kenny and Tim were like, yeah, he's the kind of guy that's like gonna ask his nephew for like $10 for him.
And yeah, I was like,
oh yeah, that's a very good point.
Don't tell your mom and dad, but like I need $10.
Yeah, but don't tell him it's for me.
Yeah. I'm like, that is exactly who he is. So then they go off stage and him and Jabri are going back and forth. You know, John's calling him Spockles. And like, it's just weird because it seems like John is getting along with everyone in the green room. And then like Jabri comes in and is just like ready to fight.
Yeah, because that's how he is. It's just his personality. Like he always thinks everyone's like attacking him, but then he attacks other people and like it's okay.
So then they need to go back on stage and Jabri says he doesn't want to go back on stage if John is there. And it's his quote unquote energy.
Yeah. And then I thought it was pretty funny how John was like, Spockles is so soft.
Spockles
is soft. And I think everyone, though, like at the end of this, like we can all tell that. And then John was even saying, too, like what's really at the end of all this, he can tell that Patrick loves Thais. Thais loves Patrick. He was going there every 6, 7, 8 weeks to see her. Like, that's insane. Like, that's so much money and travel and hotel and everything else.
But that's the thing. It's like,
yeah. And that's all he wants.
Him and Thais might not, quote unquote, get along. Mm-hmm. But he sees the love between them.
For sure.
So he's not going to get in the way of that love. He's just probably going to be an ass about it. Which is like, fine.
He's the older brother. Like, that's his job.
He's from fucking Boston. That's how they all are.
Yeah,
like,
Bostonians, you know?
Yeah, massholes. Hello. So then John says that Jabri thinks it's all about him, which I'm like, ding, yes. Ding, ding. You are correct, sir. And Jabri says that he's not going to kick John's ass out of respect for Patrick.
Such a clown, man.
Such a clown. Fucking clown. So they go back on stage, but this was the best part. Kenny and Tim go find John.
Yeah.
And, like, hug him, and, like, they become best bros.
Like, we love you, man. Like, you're great.
And, like, everyone loves him. So they go back on stage. Oh, and Tim says he wants to drink with John, which, like, who doesn't?
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to go to, like, the local watering hole with John in Boston?
100%. Like, come on. I want, like, I will drink one of those warm Sam Summers that
just sitting at the end of the bar with John, talking bullshit.
That Emily's dad had one of those warm Sams and just drink it with John. So they go back on stage, and then Bilal checks on Jabri. And it's like, oh, just keep it cool, man. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who are you? That was a little weird. But then Thais is happy that someone said something to John. I'm like, whose side are you on?
Yeah, it's like she was almost like sticking up for Jabri.
She was.
Because Jabri was saying stuff to John. And it's like, yo, just like, why the need to do that? Like, Jabri was going at him like hard for no reason whatsoever.
Like, literally John walked out on stage, and I mean, Emily says this later on, but like John walks out on stage and then he's all of a sudden like, oh, you're drunk, you had 6 beers this morning, like, blah, blah. It's like, who the fuck are you coming from? Like, who are you?
What if he did? He probably doesn't even catch a buzz with 6 beers.
Who cares? Like, it's his prerogative.
Yeah.
So then Kara says, like, doesn't it bother Patrick that Jabri is calling his brother trailer trash?
Because yeah, that was
Jabri
fucked up.
Was saying trailer trash.
He's like, didn't y'all grow up in a trailer?
That was my whole thing. Like, he was like, well, they grew up in a trailer. It's like, so is Patrick trailer trash?
My mom grew up in a trailer. What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
She don't live in a trailer anymore. Like
fuck out of here, bro. That was the point that I was like, Patrick, you need to, like, fucking get over yourself and
yeah,
like
you need
stick
to
up for you and your family.
Yeah, you need to like check this real quick.
But my favorite part is when Jabri says that if someone is toxic, they are removed from his life.
So literally everyone.
Literally everyone. And then, oh, this was really funny. He says that John is a bully and he doesn't like bullying, but then both Sean Robinson and Ari call him out for bullying Ari.
Yep, 100%.
Because, like, that's literally what he was doing.
Yeah. He's like, no, I was just saying, like, they weren't going to work out. Like, I'm just speaking my mind. That's not bullying.
It's like, no, you're a bully.
But then you were calling her the most jealous person on the planet. Like,
you're a bully.
Like, going after her for no reason whatsoever.
So then we pivot to Emily and Kobe. And this is who we'll cover now. And we get footage of baby Scarlett, and she is so flipping cute. They make cute ass babies.
Yeah.
Also,
so like we touched upon this a little bit too, like going through that whole scenario of John and Jabri, but
oh, sorry.
No. It's good that we're getting in here. I just want to like preference it by saying like how out of the box that during all of this Emily was the voice of reason backstage.
I don't
like,
understand that.
That was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
She seems very much more like toned down since the second kid.
100%. And like me and John were talking about this earlier, but we were saying that like I was reading on Reddit or Twitter or something, like who would have thought coming out of this tell-all that I would be actively rooting for her and Kobe and think they're the ones that are going to be, like, together?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, out of all the... I mean, Karen, Guillermo, but, like, they don't really count. Like,
yeah.
It's just wild. But we'll talk about it.
For sure.
So then we get into this conversation about the placenta. Oh, this is where Guillermo says something really funny. I forgot. So Emily had her placenta capsulated. There we go. And thinks it really helped tremendously with like her weight loss and like baby blues and like all this stuff. And Sean Robinson asked Kara, like, oh, what are your thoughts? And Kara's like, well, I'm like planning on it, but like I also heard that you can cook it. And then Kira goes, you ain't cooking that shit in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's got their own philosophy. Everyone's got their own, you know, coping mechanisms,
different ways of
doing things. If that's what you want to do, by all means, go ahead and do it.
Well, I fully believe in it. Like, I've read a lot of things that it does help with, like, your hormone imbalance and, like, postpartum depression. And especially for people that are predisposed to, like, anxiety and depression like I am, like, it really does help not get you too deep after the baby. So I fully believe in it. And I'm happy that, like, it was actually talked about on 90 Day to maybe open people's minds up. But, yeah, I'm with Guillermo where like I'm not trying to cook that shit in like a frying pan on my stove.
Yeah, nah, I would probably avoid that, but yeah, whatever you want to do, by all means.
So Emily and Kobe then admit that they've only had sex like 4 or 5 times since Scarlett was born, which like who would have thought not having sex would mean you don't get pregnant.
How out there is that?
And then
what a philosophy.
This is like, okay, so this makes me think, like, solidify my thoughts that Bilal had a vasectomy. Because Shida goes, oh, like, Bilal needs, like, some of that advice, like about getting pregnant, like, all this stuff. And then Bilal, I don't know if you heard him, but he goes, like, yeah, especially because I have super sperm. Like, if you have super sperm, wouldn't she be pregnant already?
I mean, not if they're using some sort of birth control, male, female, both.
And then Bilal and Shida say that, or Shida says that they're practicing for a baby, but they're not seeing results. Yeah, and
because that stuff can take time. Like, you never know. Something could be a little off on one side or the other.
That's true. And then Bilal says that he had to convince Shida to have children.
Which is, come on.
Like, bro.
Who are you trying to fool?
For real.
You're a good salesman. You're not that good of a salesman.
It's like, no, definitely not. So back to Emily and Kobe. So the topic of Emily wanting to have the sex the day that Kobe came in and, like, kept him from seeing Coben comes up.
Yeah, so she was essentially trying to, like, justify not allowing Kobe to see Coben on that first day. And, like, the way she explained it now...
makes total sense.
Was much better than the way she explained it back then. And I think that's just because she had, like, more time to come up with an answer and, like, really understand it, which I think makes sense. And I understand her point, but I don't know if I would have done that. But that's just me.
I think just communicating to Kobe, like, hey, we're going to stay in Kansas City tonight because it's a long drive and this and that. And, like, I'm not going to bring Coben because of XYZ. Like, I think that would have been better than just, like, surprising him.
Yeah, it's something they should have talked about, like, before he was actually here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she had all this already planned out without even telling him, like, hey, you should talk about this, like, beforehand, even, like, if it's, like, a week or two before.
Yeah, like, I think that's where, like, my mind was, where I was like, that's fucked up. Because, yeah, like, obviously he just wanted to see his son. But, like, Emily now says that, like, you know, this was early 2021. Like, COVID was still, like, crazy. The vaccines weren't readily available for everyone, which, like, who the fuck knows if she's even vaccinated.
Right.
And, like, the travel, and then, like, she didn't want to bring Coben, and he was tired, and then, like, didn't want to, like, upset Kobe. And, like, her explanation now made sense. And, like, Ari even says, like, you know, at first she wasn't a fan of the whole thing, but now hearing Emily explain it, it's like, okay, that does make sense. Like,
for sure.
So I think she just... like you said, like, she had two kids and, like, completely flipped the switch.
I feel like she's just a much more, like, relaxed, toned down, like, nicer person.
I don't know.
Maybe this is how she actually is. And, like, on the show, they just picked, like, the negative side of her.
I mean, that's reality TV, though.
Yeah, like, for sales purposes. But, hey, you never know.
I don't know. They just seem, like, so happy and, like, really love their lives together, besides the whole, like, living at home thing.
Yeah, so let's get into that then. So so Lisa and David join the show.
Those are Emily's parents, if you don't know.
Yeah, and so we find out that they're still living there, but they need to move out ASAP.
And it turns out that they don't pay rent, but they do provide, like, you know.
Yeah, buy groceries, do some housework. Kobe helps clean the animals.
Like, Kobe picks up horse shit.
And he's working all day, though. So he's essentially working, like, two jobs or a job and a half.
And this is my whole thing, though. Like, Emily's a stay-at-home mom, but that just means, like, her mom is also there. Or, like, whoever else is in the house. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I won't comment. So then David says that they have a time frame, and they need to have a time frame on moving out, and they need to go for their relationship, which I agree with. Like, their whole time they've been together in America, they've lived with her parents.
Yeah, you need your own space. You need, you know, to figure out things between the two of you rather than under your parents' roof, so to say.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, this was so weird when Sean Robinson asked about their sex life. I was just like, I don't really need to know if they get it on.
Yeah, I mean, David said the house is soundproof, you know? I was like, excuse me, sir? What did you just say?
I don't want to know. So now we get into the topic of the whole breastfeeding thing. And how Kobe was like, oh, those are my boobs and all that. And Coben was too big to be breastfeeding and all that stuff. And we won't get into that because, like, There's a lot of opinions. Your own thing. Exactly. There's a lot of opinions on it. I feel like anything you say is incorrect, so we're not going to touch on that. But Emily's mom, Lisa, like, definitely brings up a good point that, like, in this country, we, like, stigmatize breasts for, like, a sexual place where it's, like, we should be, like, you know, it provides food for a child. So, like, I did agree with that, but, like, 'tis your own where you, like, however long you want to breastfeed. If you want to breastfeed, if you don't, whatever, like, it's your prerogative.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it.
There's goods, there's bads, it's whatever you want.
Exactly. And then we talk about what David gave Kobe at right before the wedding, where they, like, both cried together.
And we still don't know. So the mystery goes on.
I don't think we'll ever know.
The mystery goes on. I think maybe if they're on Happily Ever After or...
Ooh, maybe. I would like to see them on Happily Ever After.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not... well, obviously not this time around, but next time around, or maybe... you know, they'll have one of those, like, 90-day diaries things on Discovery Plus. So, potentially, we'll see them again. I would like to see them again. I think I liked their storyline more, like, as the season went on, and that was very rare in this season.
I agree with that. I mean, I still think she was, like, a see you next Tuesday the whole season. But I liked Kobe a lot. I do think their relationship is going to last, or at least they learned how to communicate better and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So I would like to see that. Like, I would like to see that thrive, but we also know that, like, 90 Day Fiancé likes the chaos, so who the fuck knows? And then lastly, what we were talking about earlier, Emily meets with Tim and Kenny backstage, and she says that Jabri makes no sense.
I thought that was great.
I was like, yes, girl, you are correct.
I was like, I agree with you. He doesn't make sense. So we're all in agreement there.
Ridiculous. So in my opinion, I think we should leave Eva Mohammed for last.
Okay.
Because of the ending of 90 Day.
All right. So you want to touch upon your favorite Bilal and Shida? Just... there wasn't really much going on with them, I felt like.
I don't even think I wrote anything down for
them. Yeah, I mean, we touched upon it a little bit, but the whole like basis for their conversation was kind of like Bilal and Shida really don't still see eye to eye about having a baby. Bilal claims...
what's new? Yeah. This is going to be their whole fucking plot line on Happily Ever After.
Bilal claims that he had to convince Shida to have a baby and...
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Which was dumb. But also, one other point that she made is that she's not going to stay silent and she wants to save her marriage because she doesn't want to end up like what happened last time with Bilal's marriage.
Yeah, I mean, good for her. And I feel like she's such a strong woman to actually stand up for herself and not let someone like Bilal boss her.
Yeah, you got to know your worth. So if you don't feel like someone is giving that to you, then, you know, hey, you're not, you know, fulfilling needs, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and... don't talk to me like I'm a child and stop lecturing me. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, good for her and great for her even to stand up for herself as, you know, their relationship continues. And they're the oldest ones here. So I really hope that they're able to, you know, use their experiences to enhance their relationship.
And I mean, I think Shida would be such a good mom. It's just getting over the communication with them. Because if they don't communicate, like, it's just going to be terrible.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, I don't know.
That was pretty much it for them, though.
Yeah, I was like, that's why I was like, I didn't write anything down for them. Besides what happens with Jabri later on, which we'll talk about.
And then anything with Kata and Guillermo that you wanted to touch upon?
No, she's just glowing. She looks so beautiful pregnant. And her extensions.
So they're having a boy then.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, that's the old wives' tale,
well,
right?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, but also like...
the old wives' tale is like, if you look like crap, you're having a girl because the girl takes the beauty out of you. Yeah. The old wives' tale. I don't know if it's an Irish thing because we're both Irish, or if it's an everybody thing, but yeah, it's one of those old wives' tales.
Well, Thais and Patrick are having a girl.
Oh, that's for sure. Certain.
Yeah. But Kara and Guillermo said they don't want to learn the gender until the baby's born.
All right. Well, there you go.
So.
It's possible.
I hope so. Baby Guillermo running around.
There you go.
Talking about babies, let's check in on the best baby besides Copen.
Who, Avi?
Avi. The cutie.
So, we start off with Sean asking about Avi, and Benny and Ari both say that Avi is doing great, which is awesome.
I can't believe he's 2.5.
Yeah.
Like, we have seen, we literally saw that child be born.
Yes.
In
yes.
an Ethiopian hospital.
Yeah. So, Avi's doing well. We find out that Benny is actually spending most of his time in Las Vegas for MMA, which is good and bad. Great for him, as, you know, that's really the spot to be in. Either there or down here in South Florida. I mean, those are probably the two, you know, top places to train for UFC and MMA.
And he said something that there's a lot of Ethiopians there too. So
I mean, that makes sense. It's a big city. It's, you know, a lot of hospitality workers.
Yeah, that's true. So he does feel like he's like more at home. Kind of like what Kobe was arguing about, like in the latter part of the season, where like in Ohio and Columbus, which like I still don't understand that.
Yeah, I asked my buddy who lives there. He says no. So I don't know.
At some point, Ari says like, you know, like it's hard, like him being in Vegas, and he wants Ari to move there and stuff. And then Mohammed, out of all people, is like, well, he's a grown man. He can choose for himself. And I was like, bro, who the fuck are you? He has a child.
Like, yeah, I think that's the whole thing, right? Like, it does make sense for him to go there and be able to be there, but also like then you're leaving your wife alone in New Jersey on the other side of the country. So it's like,
well, obviously that doesn't even matter because we find out that Ari went to Ethiopia to help like humanitarian because like of the war going on and everything, and she was supposed to go for a week and she ends up staying for 3 months.
Yeah, I was like, what is going
on?
With
Avi.
Yeah, like, what is this? So, I mean, that kind of ties into, like, their thing, too. They said their vision of marriage is kind of different. And then we get into the whole thing about how, while Ari was there, she blocked Benny's number for a period of time.
It was just wild. So, yeah, like, Ari says that she likes being married, but also likes doing her own thing. Which, like, that's a little weird. But then she says that Benny has been teaching her what commitment is. Shouldn't you have figured this out when you had a kid with him?
I love how, though, if Benny had done this, it would have been
the
end of the
world.
Oh, my God.
It would have been done.
He blocked her number for, like, 4 hours while he was, like, recording music. And she was, like, it was, like, World War II was about to start.
She got all that fucking plastic surgery and shit.
Yeah. It was absolutely absurd. But then even during that, like, Jabri starts with his shit again, and Ari's like, I don't want you saying anything about him. Because how Benny, like, takes, you know, a minute or two to, like, say what he's going to say. And Jabri was, like, making fun of him for, like, stuttering.
And the thing is, this was, like, at the latter part of the episode. They're talking about Kobe, I think. And Benny's trying to say something. And the way I interpreted it is, like, Benny was, like, saying it as a joke, like, oh, like, well, Kobe wants to, and like Jabri like made fun of that stutter.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's inappropriate. But the moment right now is that Jabri, during Ari and Benny segment, says that Ari and Benny and Bilal and Shida aren't going to last.
Y'all ain't gonna last. I was like, wow, way to just, like, right on their parade.
I don't know who asked for his opinion.
No one.
And something that I thought was really funny, which, like, I was going to save for Eva Mohammed, but I'll wait.
Right.
So Ari blocks Benny, and Benny doesn't even notice.
Yeah, which, like, to his to his credit, like, how are you supposed to know? And he's probably training, you know, I would assume like 3-4 hours a day, probably like doing double sessions.
More of that.
He's probably doing double sessions. He's probably doing, you know, lifting and training in the morning and then fighting at night and doing all these different things. And I'm sure when he's there, he's doing stuff just besides like training. So he probably sends a message and then she unblocks it and then it goes through and she messages back. And I mean, to his credit too, like, how are you supposed to know if someone blocks you or not?
And that's the thing. He's like, oh, I tried a caller and it wouldn't go through. So I just thought like, oh, like she's busy or like.
It's the service in Ethiopia through WhatsApp. Like there's a lot of layers that could be there. Like my mind wouldn't instantly go to I was blocked either.
I agree with that. So then we talk about Binny and his sisters, Mimi and Wish.
Yeah, and
which I'm shocked they weren't on the tell-all because usually
I'm not fuck them.
I know, I agree, but they usually make an appearance. Remember last season? Well, I think it was the other way where they made an appearance and then like it's like no shit they were going after Ari because they threw fucking wine in her face. Like yeah, and no one disclosed that to us.
And Ari was like yelling at the TV.
Yeah, like literally no one knew. Or was it before the 90? I don't remember. Oh, it was before the 90 because Angela then like flashed her tits at everyone.
Okay, fair enough. That's when they were in Kenya, right?
Or was yes.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. And then like everyone's there with like their TV screens with their spouse. And then it's like, oh, Sean Robinson was like, we have a special guest. And like Binny's in America. And it's like, oh, I wonder if they're going to be on 90 Day. Like, obviously. So we talk about Binny and his sister, and Gara asked Binny, like, where is the line? Like, where, like, why did that line get crossed? Like, where is the line with him and his sisters? And, like, Binny really doesn't have an answer. And then Shida says that Binny needs to stand up to his sister for Ari. And Guillermo says, like, they act that way because he doesn't put a, Binny doesn't put a limit, like, when it comes to his sister, which I totally agree with.
For sure. I mean, after like after the wine scenario, I probably wouldn't, even though it's like a blood relative, like a brother or sister, I mean, I probably wouldn't talk to them.
I think unless your spouse would, like, unless your spouse is like, no, like, you know, that's your brother, that's your sister, like, you need to talk to them, like, whatever, like, our shit is our shit. Like, unless your spouse does that, like, yeah.
I think to Binny's thing, too, and this is similar to, like, Patrick's is like he like his sisters are kind of like his, you know, his upbringing, like those are kind of his parents, so he wants everyone to get along, so he doesn't want to be put in the middle of those type of situations. So by not putting himself in the middle of those situations, he kind of is sitting on the sidelines of that situation.
And what I was shocked about is like Ari kind of says that she's like, I know how Binny is inside and like all this stuff, and it's, I mean, Binny didn't grow up with parents. He had his siblings and stuff, and that's all he had in Ethiopia. So it's like, Ari seemed way more understanding now. Like, I don't know if, like, that chick is going to therapy or they're going to couples therapy, but, like, she seems more understanding now than I think I've ever seen of them.
Yeah, and I think, to that point, too, it seems like she allows him to talk and vice versa, where it's not like they're talking over each other, like how they have been for the last 2 years. And who knows, maybe that's from being married and having Avi for a longer time. Maybe that's with Janice getting involved somehow. I don't know, but it seems like
Janice.
But it seems like they're in a much better place than they were, you know, 6 months, a year ago, for sure.
And you know what's funny? When Binny said that he moved to Vegas, I was like, this makes sense because he posted a while back of him and Janice in Vegas together.
Oh.
I was like, the fuck are they, like, in Vegas together for? Now it makes total sense.
He's hanging out with his mom.
I know. I love how he calls her mom. So Binny's sisters never apologize, which, like,
they're not going to. Duh. They don't think they did anything wrong.
And then Binny says out loud what I think everyone who has been following their story was thinking.
Yeah, so he says, maybe we are not together if Avi was not born.
Oh, duh.
Which, yes, but also, if Avi wasn't born, you also wouldn't have had the opportunity to grow in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they both would have just, like, called it off. So I don't know, maybe they are right for each other, like we both just said. It seems like they're in a better place, I think they both just want to stay together for the family. That only takes you so far, but maybe there's, you know, more there that we haven't been able to see on TV.
I mean, and Ari and Benny say, I think Ari says that like they had love between each other, and I think Benny says this too, and then they made something, Avi, that mm-hmm. they both love so much, and that made them like love each other even more, and like their right. relationship is hard, but they're constantly working on it because they love each other. And honestly, like, I don't know, after seeing like how she was just like when Benny was partying or whatever in Ethiopia and how like she went to Kenya and then ultimately went back to Ethiopia even though she didn't want to go, that like she does love him and she wants to keep her family together, but I also don't think she's nervous to kind of do it on her own if she needed to.
Right.
So like I do think they have love between each other. I think their communication is god awful, but hopefully it's getting better.
Seems like it is.
And Benny even says that like they're getting better at the relationship and have taught each other a lot of things, which I thought was very cute.
Yeah, and that's every relationship, right? It's never going to be perfect. Like, no relationship is perfect. Like, and if you both want to make it work, I mean, that's half the battle right there, because then you figure out a way to make it work.
I mean, honestly, like, not to deep dive into me and Jonathan's, like, relationship, but, like, we started dating. We moved in together very quickly, and, like, we had to learn each other, like, not only our living habits, but also like how we are in relationships, how we personally are, like all this stuff. I can't imagine doing that with a child.
With a child and being from like all the other factors, right? So like different cultures, different upbringing, like all these other factors that you don't think of in normal like US to US relationships.
Exactly. So it's like I can only imagine what they've been through, but they do seem to be getting better. The one thing that I do wish is that they brought up the Leandro thing.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Oh, he's fucking terrible. But, like, we should have brought it up because Ari should have gotten dragged a little for it.
Definitely. And I think everybody on set would have been like, yo, that ain't right. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's get into the guy that thinks he's the host of the show.
Yeah, so, and to the end there, too.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, this leads into Jabri, but I think, I'm pretty sure it was Ari who said it at the end, but she was like, Jabri was a fucking asshole.
She does.
And I was like, yeah, you know, Ari, I don't agree with you on a lot of things, but on that one, I definitely do.
But like John, like, Jabri came out, like, hot, ready to fight her. And it's like, who the fuck are you? You don't even know them.
No, you just watch their story on TV like everyone else.
I mean, honestly, like, I mean, Jabri and Miona's whole thing was fake. Like, the entire season.
Still is.
It still is, obviously. His whole demeanor during the tell-all was fake. Like, this whole thing that we're going to get into with him and David was obviously fake. Like, it's just everything about them is fake, and especially him, and they're trying to grasp at the 15 minutes that hopefully are slowly ticking away.
Yeah, so to get into them, we've touched upon it a little bit, but dude, Jabri didn't want to go back in with John. He was calling John trailer trash, which I thought was unbelievable.
So fucked up.
And then I even wrote, like, in my notes, Jabri is just such a fucking clown.
He is, though. He is. And, like, so there's this rumor going around on Reddit that Jabri was coked up for the tell-all, which, like, I wouldn't put past him. So, I don't know. But I'm not going to insinuate anyone was doing drugs. It's a Reddit conspiracy, okay?
So, we find out that they're living in Palm Springs.
Which is congrats. So funny to me, because all Miona wanted to do was get out of the prairie in South Dakota, or South Dakota.
Yeah.
And then they moved to the desert.
Yeah. So.
And like, it's nowhere near LA.
Well, they can't afford LA. LA is expensive.
Of course. They can't even afford Palm Springs, I bet.
So then we find out that they both admit they should have never lived with Jabri's parents in Rapid City. And Jabri hasn't seen his parents in over 6 months since they left South Dakota to go get married.
Yeah, so they both say that it hurt that Mahala and Brian didn't come to the wedding, which, like, they told you from the get-go.
Numerous times.
They couldn't go to the wedding if it was out of state.
Or unless you planned it properly.
Oh, this is something that I wanted to mention that, so, like we said, they're living in Palm Springs, but they want to travel. They might live outside of the U.S. because they want to be on a creative adventure together, and they are creative nomads.
Yeah, congrats, man. Like, good for you. Like, hey, I mean, whatever works for you. Like, if it works for them, by all means, do it works for you. Do it brings you happiness. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But it's not something I'm going to do or get into the mix with or into the muck.
But also, like, grow the fuck up. Like, you're 29 years old. It's time to, like, start being somewhat of an adult. If you want to live out of the States, which, like, I don't blame you at all because it fucking sucks here. But, like, if you want to live out of the States, go and do that. But what creative nomad are you doing? Selling your fucking ripped pants on Instagram? Like, no, that's not being creative. Anyway, sorry. I'm getting very heated about Jabri. All
right. I like it.
Mahala and Brian declined the invite for the tell-all, which, like, thank God. Like, thank God. But guess who did it?
Davi. And he's there in person, live.
And he says that Miona put a distance between him and Jabri, which, like, yeah, duh.
And they even both admit, like, there's always been tension in their relationship. And then we get into, like, a bit of the band talk, and Jabri was like, yeah, I was pulling y'all. Like, I was pulling the band. I was doing everything. Y'all were just along for the ride.
He was the leader, and he was stressed out, and, you know, the band was really bringing him down until Miona showed up.
And he's like, why am I doing this? Like, I could just do my solo career. And it's like, all right, cool. By all means, like, go ahead and do that. But then we also see that...
Yeah, your solo career with your dumb country song.
But then we also find out that Davi didn't even know that they got engaged or married.
That was wild to me. So what Davi says is that it hurt that he didn't know they got engaged, and it was an Instagram thing.
Which, like, yes, we all
ding,
know
ding,
this.
Ding, 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 ding. Like,
and he wasn't... And Davi said he wasn't even invited. So Jabri was like, yeah, but, like, would you have come? And he's like, I don't know. I wasn't even invited. Like, maybe I would have come. How am I supposed to know if I'm not invited? So they were getting into kind of, you know, a heated exchange. And Jabri was saying that he thinks David is jealous of what him and Miona have and what they've built, which I think is all a crock of shit. And then at that point is when, like, Jabri kind of walks off set, like, in a flurry.
He walks off, which is like, what is your problem? He's like, I just gotta breathe, man.
It's like, oh yeah, for sure. So then he comes back and they both kind of give, like, BS apologies and hug it out, and it's like, this is just such a sack of shit.
It was just so stupid. Oh, you're my brother, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up, you're both here for
come here,
the
bro.
Clout, like,
come here, bro,
come here, bro. And then they say, like, I love you, brother, in Serbian or Russian or whatever the hell they speak.
Yeah, Serbian.
And then Miona says that she doesn't think she broke the band up.
She, like, barely said anything during this whole encounter.
The whole
tell-all.
Episode.
The whole tell-all. She just, like, sat there.
And then Kobe says that Jabri isolated himself because of Miona, which, like... Yeah, he did.
It's the truth. And, like, Jabri tries to make it be okay of, like, no, I'm isolating my people from don't shine and don't want to make my light bright and, like, all this stupid shit. It's like, what are these similes and comparisons you're making? Like, am I in middle school? Like, what is going on here?
So that's them. Like, they bro it out. I'm just happy that, like, we're not giving Jabri any more airtime. I swear to God, 90 day. Don't do it.
You can put him on 90 Day Diaries or something, and I'm never going to watch it. So by all means, do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, put him on Pillow Talk because I don't watch Pillow Talk.
Or do that.
So let's go to our last couple, with all the drama, which, by the way, I got breaking news right before we came on that Jonathan doesn't even know about.
Oh, I am excited.
Which involves this couple.
I'm very excited. So we start off with Muhammad and Eve. And Eve's friends are weird and want to see how I will react. It's kind of what Muhammad was saying and kind of how he was preferencing everything with Tatiana.
Okay, I will say, so they show this scene where Muhammad's at dinner with Eve and the squad, which squad. I hate calling them the squad because,
that's,
yes.
That's a guy thing.
It's, I just think of Fetty Wap and squaw. But not only that, like, it's just weird.
Like, you're pushing 50.
Yeah. And watching it back, I was like, this is very weird.
It was a little like, yeah, especially if you don't know his culture, like Muslim culture is very, you know, privacy and everything, you know.
Especially when it comes to sex.
Yeah, it's only in the house. It's only when you're married. Like, all this stuff. It's very like, it's much more sacred there.
100%.
I think is probably like the best way to put it.
And my whole thing is, I'm like, we'll get into it, but like, they're asking him like very intimate sexual questions.
And it's
which
none
is,
of their fucking business.
A, it's none of their business. And B, you say Eve is your best friend. So ask her these questions. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just like.
Also, why would you want. Why would you
want
even
to
want to know that about her partner?
Like, can you imagine if you, like, the first time you met all of my friends, they were like, oh, John, like, have you ever watched porn before? You'd be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Be like, who are you? Like, obviously everyone in their right mind has at some point in their lives, but like, that's none of your fucking business.
I mean, hello, two girls, one cup. Like, everyone has seen it. So it's like, I don't know.
It's
just
none of
weird.
Your business. Like, don't worry about me. I don't worry about you. Like, maybe like learn about like who I actually am, like what my upbringing was, what I did for a job, like how I like to interact with friends, what I do for fun,
like what attracted you to Eve, what do you love most about Eve, like if you're looking out for your friend, you should want to know why her significant other is into them.
Yeah, not like these stupid bullshit sex questions because you're a fucking sex freak.
So Tatiana comes out and Muhammad asks her if she thinks the conversation is normal in any culture, and I was like, I do agree with Muhammad on this one.
Yeah.
And she tries to answer, but Muhammad keeps cutting her off, which, like, I thought was pretty... I just like how she was like, I'm going to wait until you're done. Like, do you want me to answer? I was like, that is the perfect answer for someone who's trying to talk over you.
We used to have a teacher that would do that. So anytime he was going to say something and, like, the kids were still talking, he would just go, we'll wait. Yeah. No, I'll wait. We'll wait.
That's perfect. It's such a perfect answer.
It's like, oh shit, like they're mad.
So Muhammad says that his sex life is personal, which like
it is. It's not your business.
I agree. And Ari asks if it's weird that Eve is with someone who isn't sexual, and Tatiana says yes. Which is like, what makes someone sexual that they're like making out at, like, did you want them making out at the table or like him grabbing her tit or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And it seems like they say that he's good in bed. So,
oh my God, that was the funniest fucking thing.
It's like, cause he was a virgin before Eve. So Eve was like a little nervous, but they were like, yeah, like Muhammad's good in bed.
So Muhammad's like, you wanted nothing to do with me until you heard I was good in bed.
And I mean, like, I'm sure Eve is going to think that regardless when she's with someone who's half her age. So.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
But that was pretty hysterical.
So Eve says she didn't know that Muhammad was a virgin, like Jonathan just said. And then Tatiana said he could have said he wasn't comfortable with the conversation instead of saying what he did in the interview, which, like, I do agree with, but also I'm sure it was so intimidating. Like,
yeah.
You're meeting your significant other's best friends for the first time, and they're asking you all these sexual questions. You're not going to be like, I'm not comfortable with this.
Right. No, for sure. You're just going to be like, how do I react? Like, you're probably already nervous walking into it. And now these are the first questions you're being asked. Like, you're going to be double nervous.
So then Sean Robinson asked Tatiana if she thinks Mohammed and Eve have genuine love.
And she says that it doesn't seem like they'll last.
And she asks if any other couple has had the person ask for a new sponsor.
And everyone was like, gasp.
Yeah, I mean.
Which, like, come on, we all knew.
And then, this was good. Last part about Jabri. Jabri says it's a communication error, and he says he can see true love between Eve and Mohammed. Just you wait, my man.
This guy has the worst judge of character.
Oh, terrible. It's terrible.
It's pretty funny.
He's like, I know in my gut when I, like, sense true love. And it's like,
do you?
Sir, just wait until the end of the episode like we all did. So Sean says it doesn't sound like a communication error.
No.
Which I was like, it definitely wasn't. And then, like, I don't know, they start talking about, like, the Americans doing paperwork and the foreigners waiting and this and that, which I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah, they're like, have you seen the paperwork? Like, it's a lot of paperwork. And it's like, oh yeah, it's on, like, the person from the U.S. to do all this paperwork, which, like,
it's like, well, you're their sponsor. Yeah, like you brought them here.
It's kind of your job.
Exactly. It literally is your job. It literally is your job. I mean, if I've learned anything from 90 Day Fiancé, it's that when you bring someone over on a K-1 visa, you are financially obligated and responsible for them for 10 years when they get here. So that even if you get divorced, you are still financially dependent on this person that you are coming over for. So, yeah, I imagine it is a job. Like, it literally is a job.
Yeah, it's all this time that's being spent on this paperwork to get them, you know, up to speed and get their paperwork and green card and visa and everything else so that they're, you know, able to work and able to provide and able to get a license and all, yeah, these other things.
Exactly.
Like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's essentially like an infant almost. Like, you have to kind of build them up on everything.
So Mohammed says he appreciates Tatiana's relationship with Eve, but doesn't want to continue this conversation, which, like, don't really blame him. But I also appreciate that Mohammed acknowledges their relationship and that, yeah, like, Tatiana is doing is looking out for Eve.
Yeah. And he even said that he has no problems with anybody. Like, he just wants everything to be good. And then we see them backstage kind of apologize to one another and make up, which I thought, yeah, was a nice gesture on both of their parts.
Yeah, I think it was nice that, like, Eve brought them together and, yeah, and they had a conversation and they did, like, a cute little group hug and stuff like that. But the one thing I thought was really funny is that Tim says that it was nice to see Mohammed raise his voice. And it's like, yeah, yeah, he went up one level.
And then they were like, do re mi fa sol, do re. Yes, Eve. Yes, Eve.
So that was really the end of the tell-all.
Except.
I know, but wait. I'm going to go through all this. So the end of the tell-all happens. Kenny and Tim give props to Sean on being a wonderful host that she is.
As always.
As always. Kenny says the season didn't disappoint. And I was like, sir, did we watch the same season?
Can we get Kenny and Armando back on the show, please?
Oh my God. They should be on Happily Ever After.
What's the daughter's name? I always forget her name. I forget.
Oh, I forget too.
Whatever.
I don't remember. She's really cute though.
She is.
John is Tim's favorite, which, like, John is everyone's favorite. Kara and Guillermo are happy to be leaving. Mm. Ari says Jabri is a fucking asshole, like we said earlier. Jabri says Ari and Binny and Bilal and Shida are toxic, and him and Miona need to work on stuff. But after seeing these couples, they don't need to work on that much stuff, and that he needs to work on being patient.
Need a lot more than them, I guess.
Bro, you're a little too late for that. Patrick just wants everyone to get along, like John and Thais. Mohammed, sorry, I write Mo when, so I'm like, Mohammed and Eve think they're in a good place.
Dun, dun, dun.
Emily tells Bilal and Shida that it's messed up what Jabri said and apologizes, which I'm like, wow. Like, to our point earlier, yeah. She has grown up somehow.
How is she the voice of reason?
And then Emily and Kobe want to move out, and Bilal said it didn't feel good since no one thinks he's a good person, which I'm like, no one does think you're a good person. And Shida wants to work on their relationship and starts crying while Bilal just looks in the camera dumbfounded.
I think he's a good person. I just don't think he knows, like, how to... He just has, like, a different way of doing things that I think a lot of people don't agree with. It's like we've said numerous times, like, he's a salesman and everything is a sale for him. Like, that's, every conversation he's got to win because he's a salesman.
That's the thing. And this is what we talked about last episode, yeah. Is he doesn't turn off the salesman persona,
right.
Unless yeah. He's with his kids.
Yeah, that's the only time.
That's the only time. So it's like there's no, like, difference.
Separation.
No. So that's why, like, everyone sees you as, like, a snake oil salesman and, like...
Yeah, like, you're home. Like, you can let your hair down. You can take your jacket off.
Exactly.
You can take the tie off.
Yeah. Which, like, I don't... People that bring their work home, like, I've done it before, and it's like, it's not worth your mental health, man. Okay, so then...
Dun, dun, dun.
So you know how we said, like, Muhammad and Eve said they're in a good place? Yeah, it didn't last very long.
Yeah, so Muhammad was texting another woman.
Which, okay, if you follow any, like, rumor, Instagram, 90 Day Fiancé stuff, like I do, or it just pops up on your Discover page, or you read Reddit, you're kind of aware of this already. I did take screenshots of, or took pictures of the TV. So Muhammad was texting a woman, and he was writing stuff like this. Quote, "I would love to go with you anywhere. Trust me, I don't care anymore. And I'm sorry again. Smiley face. What about a kiss?" And then this woman goes, "Gosh, you are the cutest ever." Which, like, by the way, okay, I never try to blame women for the actions of a man, like, especially when it comes to cheating. But this woman clearly knew that he was married.
Yeah.
And was, like, egging it on, which is a disgusting quality to have.
Yeah, he was like, how I have to, like, wait for the green card and everything. And she's like, oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, so then... She goes, "I seriously can't wait to meet you," with three smiley faces. And he goes, "I will go to the attorney right after I get the green card." And then he goes, "I would just keep you in bed for days," with fire emoji, the tongue sticking out emoji, and the hard eyes emoji. And then two laughing face emojis. And then goes, "Just kidding, LOL." And she goes, "No, please be for real," with a kissing emoji and, like, the hearts around emoji. And then Muhammad goes, "You know, I would leave to go with you. That's how I feel." And then she goes, "Me too. I totally would get you right away. Kissy face. But we have to wait just a tiny bit longer for you to get the green card. Kissy face, kissy face, kissy face. I hate the waiting too."
Yeah, I'm kind of out. I'm out.
So Eve said it's an inappropriate relationship to have with someone who is married, which I totally agree with. And Muhammad said that he said these women, but I think he meant, like, this woman.
Yeah.
That he was married, and then he starts crying, but his crying is like Brandon and Julia's mom, Brandon's mom crying when he told them that he was moving out. Like, no tears, just like.
That scrunched up face.
Yeah, exactly. And Eve is hurt and doesn't know where their relationship is going.
Ah, it's over. Get the fuck out.
So then, right before, literally minutes before we came on, my friend Cammy, who's listening, Cammy's the OG, love her. She sent me this. 90 Day Fiancé star Eve facing domestic violence charges amid Muhammad text cheating scandal.
Oh.
So this is what the post says. It says, "The drama continues. 90 Day Fiancé star Yvette Eve, her last name, was charged with domestic violence amid husband Muhammad text cheating scandal. In Touch can exclusively confirm."
Wow.
Eve was charged on August 15th with one count of battery against a household member and one count of assault against a household member in Albuquerque, New Mexico. According to court reports obtained by InTouch, she has a bond arraignment hearing scheduled for Tuesday, September 6th.
Damn. So, I mean, she must have hit him, right?
I mean, yeah, she must have beat him up. But so this happened on the 15th, which meant it was last Monday.
Okay.
So I'm curious if either more shit came out or maybe she watched the tell-all or, like, I don't know.
And what, like, it resurfaced her mind in her mind or something?
I guess so. But, I mean, it's sad.
I'm sure more stuff came out.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, if you look at these texts, which you can go to this account, they're called Mary Pants on Instagram. If you go to their account and you search a little bit, all the texts are there. So obviously this was like a months long thing.
Yeah.
And supposedly what I saw on Reddit is someone took a picture of Eva Mohammed when they were going to the tell all. And supposedly he was texting her in that picture.
Oh my God.
So like he was blatantly doing it right in front of Eve's face. Like Eve is out providing for him and Theron.
Yep.
And like it's just fucked up. But I don't believe in any violence in any relationship. I don't think that should have ever started, but it doesn't seem like they're...
I would have just kicked him out. I would have been like, get the fuck out of the house, and if you're not at the house by tomorrow at 9 a.m., I'm calling the cops, and they're going to get you out of my house.
That's my whole thing, though. He says he has a lot of friends now in New Mexico. Okay, go fucking live with them. Obviously, you're not even living a Muslim way because you're committing adultery. Yeah. So, like, go. But I don't know. I feel really bad for her more so than him. But like I said, I don't condone violence in a relationship at all.
No, definitely not. Seems like she just got to a serious breaking point. And it's just, you know, what came out of her.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's the end of the season. Thank God.
Yeah, so... like we said, you know, it was overall a good season. There were some high points, some low points. Seemed like the latter half or so was definitely better. But looking forward to see what the future holds for these couples, especially Emily, Kobe, Ari, and Benny. Obviously, want to see Benny on an undercard sometime soon. And... yeah, definitely. I think we'll get Kara and Guillermo back. I think
they're going to be more so like a 90 days diary situation than actually have like a season.
And I think we'll get Patrick and Thais back at some point because they live in Vegas now too. So there you go.
They live in Vegas. I don't think John's going anywhere.
No.
And everyone, I think it's a consensus amongst the 90-day fandom that everyone loves John. So like the more you can get John, the more like you're gonna get people to like.
Yeah, and I think we said he'll probably go to the single life or
which
something.
I hope so, because if he goes to the single life, I will actually tune in.
Yeah.
Besides that, we are starting Happily Ever After next week.
Woo.
How excited are you for this season?
I'm pretty excited. I mean, it's, you know, some old faces and some new places. So it'll be nice to see. But I mean, some of them are just like absolutely ridiculous. I'm so tired of Usman. Like,
bro,
I'm so tired of him. Like, get
they're
him
not
off my...
even Whoa. Married. I'm sorry to yell, but they're not even married. Like, how can you be on Happily Ever After without being married? Just go on another before the 90 or go on 90.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Or the other way, because she's going over there.
Yeah. I like Kimbali.
I do like Kimbali.
As a person, but she's getting taken to the motherfucking cleaners.
Of course she is, but I also don't like...
And her son knew right off the fucking
bat. Yeah.
He knew right off the bat.
But they're making coin now because they're on fucking Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
And then we get Jovi and Yara, which like...
I like their storyline.
I guess Jovi at some point says what Benny said, where like if they had a kid, they would be divorced. God. Who else do we have?
She's way too attractive for him anyways.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, his fucking
teeth. He makes coin, though.
I know. But if you left me right after we had a kid and then COVID hit and you were gone for 6 months, I'd literally fly to wherever you were, even if
on a boat,
deathly virus is going on, and fucking punch you in the face.
Get a seaplane, just land right next to the boat.
Who else do we have?
Michael, Angela, right?
Yeah, but we're not covering them.
And then Big Ed.
Ugh, we're not covering him either.
I think that's it, then.
Shiden, Bilal, Joy.
Unfortunately.
There's definitely another couple that we're forgetting. Eh, whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh, Submit and Jenny.
Oh, and then my boy, Andre and Libby. Oh,
duh, how can we forget?
Andre, probably my most favorite person on any 90-day
really?
Show. Andre, yes.
Why?
He's a legend.
We'll get into this more next week.
He just
week.
Fights Charlie because Charlie sucks.
Yo, fuck Charlie, though. I hope
we don't see
Charlie.
If I was Andre, I would have knocked him out cold like years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have knocked him out at the wedding. We'll get into this next week. We're going to go like super deep dive into them.
But I'm very happy to see Andre.
And Libby. They're about to pop out their kid. They're having a boy, I think. So that should be good.
So, should be interesting.
And then Jenny and Submit, well, you know, she'll freak out about something. Who the hell knows? But besides that, that's really it. I mean, thanks for coming along this adventure with 90 Day OG this season. Yes. We had a lot of fun. Kind of sucks this season was not the greatest. I'm sure Happily Ever After will be like 3-ish months, and then we'll probably get into the other way, I'm gonna guess, and then before the 90.
Yes,
but we'll be here for the ride. Even though we aren't covering 1/4 of the couples, we're still going to create amazing content for you guys,
as always,
and really appreciate you listening. And then here's the spiel at the end. Follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. I promise I'm going to start being more active on there. I'm going to start a Twitter as well. I'll let you guys know what that name is because I really want to start live tweeting when watching on Sunday nights. If you are interested in sports and or betting and or both, follow Jonathan at the JK Pod. He talks about betting and sports, like I just said.
Accurate. That's accurate.
You're welcome for that description. Maybe one day I'll make an appearance, but like, who knows? So follow him at the JK Pod. All links are in the description.
Yes.
But really, thanks for coming along with the ride, and we'll see you guys next week for Happily Ever After.
Appreciate it, and see you next time.
Bye.